Our reading this morning comes from Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 to 10. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him and he began to teach them. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." This is the word of the Lord.
Shall we pray together? Blessed. Dear God, we thank you that we are your blessed ones. Thank you that you call us to be citizens of your kingdom. Thank you that you show us how to live well in you. And we pray now as we look at these verses of your word that you would open your word to our hearts and show us, Jesus, how to glorify you in our lives. In your name, amen. Amen. Well, wonderful to be here. Thank you so much, Joe, for your invitation. It's a great joy to be here, and it's always wonderful. I was 13 years at Trinity College, so there's a whole generation of leaders that I've got to know, and so wonderful to see people like Joe out doing the stuff and ministering in God's name. And thank you so much for inviting me to preach on what I think must be my favourite passage in the whole Bible. I don't know if you're allowed to have favourite passages as a bishop. It's a bit like saying to a parent, you know, which is your favourite child? But if I did have to say which was my favourite passage, I would say the Beatitudes, those 10 wonderful sayings that we just heard read. When I was at Trinity College with Joe, we had a sort of strapline that we tried to live by, a vision that we tried to live by, that was live like the kingdom is near. That's what we tried to do at that place. We tried to live like the kingdom of Jesus is near. Jesus came and said, repent and believe the good news. The kingdom of heaven has come near. And so we thought, well, what would it be like if we carefully and deliberately try to live more and more each day into God's kingdom? And we had a set of values, and they were the Beatitudes. We sat down one day and we thought, well, we need to write some values. What does it look like to live as a citizen of the kingdom of heaven? And we realized that Jesus had already done it for us. So actually we thought, what better could we do than adopt the Beatitudes, these verses that we've just heard read, as our values? Now, so I want us just to spend a bit of time looking at this passage, looking at what do these wonderful sayings, the words Beatitudes come from that word blessed, 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 that goes through those verses. What would it look like to live like that? Now, I think I need to say at the start that there is a kind of right way and a wrong way of reading these verses. It would be very tempting to see them as conditional. So if you do this, then you will be blessed. So if you try very hard to be poor in spirit, then God will bless you. Or if you really, really are ever so meek, then God will bless you. Or only if you're merciful will you ever hope to receive mercy. It makes us think we've got to try really, really hard to be blessed by God. But actually, that's the wrong way to read these verses. It's to miss the point of that word, blessed. It's a very specific word. Jesus uses a really specific word when he says this. There's a word he could have used that would mean you will be blessed by God if. There is a word that does that in Greek, or Aramaic translated into Greek. Blessed will you be if. There's a word. He doesn't use that word. He uses the word makarios. That's the Greek, makarios.
And it's a really hard word to translate into English. It doesn't mean you will be blessed if. It's much more like saying, good on you, or well done, or happy are you, fortunate are you. You know, I look at Joe and I go, Joe, you're so fortunate to be vicar of all souls here. Or, you know, I look at you and go, oh, wonderful, you are a happy person. You are so blessed because of where you are, because of what you're doing, because of who you are. And it's much more that sense that Jesus is using when he says, blessed are you. You are blessed because you are a citizen of my kingdom. Blessed are you if you belong to me. So if this morning we can say we belong to Jesus, then we can already say we are blessed. Whatever we do, whatever we say, we are blessed. We are part of his kingdom. So it's not like, you know, doing dry January or giving something up for Lent or, you know, where you have to try ever so hard. You are already blessed. So let's keep that in mind as we go through this. And let's remember who Jesus was talking to. So Jesus was there, he was up the mountain, he'd sat down, he was teaching, and he said to the people around him, wow, happy are you, blessed are you, oh, good on you, well done, look at you, you're amazing, you're so blessed. Who was sat around him? It was the rich, and it was the academically able, and it was the rulers of the day. No, it wasn't. It was the poor. It was the weak. It was those who had come to Jesus because they had disabilities that needed healing. They had issues. They were oppressed. They were poor. They were living in an occupied land, and they were the lowest of the low. And they came to Jesus, and Jesus looks at them and says, blessed are you. Why? They didn't look very blessed, but they were blessed because they were following Jesus. That is what makes us blessed. I read a really good thing that says, why did Jesus choose this thing? You know, if you were going to sit there and say to a group of people, blessed are you for this, you probably wouldn't choose the things that we've just heard read. One writer says this, try being meek tomorrow at work and see how far you get. Meekness is fine in church, but in the real world, the meek get to go home early with a pat on the back. Blessed are those who are peacemakers. They shall get done to them what they are loath to do to others. Blessed are the merciful. They shall get it done to them a second time. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, because they shall be called fanatics. These are not usually the things that our world sees as being blessed, but they describe the reality of living in God's kingdom. So let's look briefly at each one, just a minute on each, just to sort of get under the skin of what's going on in each one. And then we'll think a little bit about how we live like that. So here's the first one. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Those words, poor in spirit, in Greek, they literally have the meaning of being bent over. So blessed are you if you are bent over, if you're bent low, if you're poor in spirit. To be poor in Jesus' day was probably to be destitute and helpless. So this means you are blessed if even in the world's eyes you have no power, you have no privilege, if you don't have all the answers, you don't have all the resources, you are fully bent over and dependent on another for help. If we are truly dependent on God for all we need, then we're blessed. Those who are blessed are those that know they need God. I think there's a tendency, isn't there, for us often, I know I find it very much in my own life, to think I can do all of this in my own strength. You know, I don't need God. I'm quite capable, thank you very much. I can live well in my own strength. This is Jesus saying, no, actually, you need to be fully dependent on God. You need him to live. That kind of poverty of the spirit that says, God, I need you, means we're blessed. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. This is often used, a sort of verse that you see on cards, you know, maybe bereavement cards. It is a really lovely thing to offer somebody who is mourning, that they will be comforted in God. But actually, the word that is used there for mourning is quite a specific sense of mourning. It's that sense of mourning for how things should be, but are not. So every time you watch the news and you see what is going on in our world and you think, oh God, this is awful, that's the kind of mourning that Jesus is talking about here. When we mourn for and we wish that Jesus would come and put everything right again, that sort of mourning, those tears that we might cry when we see what is not right in the world, it's a kind of spiritual mourning for how things could be in God. And God says, those tears are from me. That's the kind of mourning that my people will have, because we long for Jesus to come and put things right. Number three, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. When did you ever see the meek inheriting anything at all? Meekness, I think, is a very misunderstood quality. You know, if I were to say to you, would you like to be meek? You would probably say, no, not very much. But actually, meekness is not weakness. It's the sort of quality described in Colossians 3:12, when it says, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, with kindness, with humility, with meekness, and with patience. Those are the sort of qualities that God's people will inhabit. Who do we normally think will inherit the earth? You know, who gets to inherit the earth in our world today? Those with armed might, those with power, those with political strength. But actually, this beatitude says, no, the meek, God's meek people will inherit the earth. The earth is the Lord's, and everything in it, it says in Psalm 8. So being meek has that is means having that quiet inner confidence that God has got this, that the world is God's, that we belong to him. Everything belongs to him. Number four, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. I don't know what you hunger and thirst for. We were just trying to think of things that with foods with our first letter of our name. E is quite hard. Once you get past eggs, that's about it. But, you know, what do you hunger and thirst for? The promise of this beatitude is that those of us whose hunger and thirst is satisfied only by God are blessed. So when we're prepared to submit our all to God and his will, Paul says this in Philippians 3, I regard everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him. And this is the bit, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness of God. So this is about saying, let's keep our hungers and our thirsts focused in the right direction, towards the goodness of God and his mission to bring in his kingdom. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Mercy was a really big theme for Jesus. He said, I desire mercy and not sacrifice. Sacrifice says, you owe me something, and you can pay me like this. Mercy says, you owe me something, but I will cover the burden of that myself. God has shown mercy to us in Christ Jesus. So to show mercy to somebody is not to patronize them and say, or look down on them and say, look, come up and stand where I am. It's possibly to say, let me come down and stand where you are. Let me stand alongside you. Let me cover this with you. Let me be there for you. Mercy is a great leveler. So to show mercy is to do things that might not benefit you at all, but benefit the other person completely. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. This is about our inner life and our outer life being in alignment with each other. Psalm 24 speaks of those who have clean hands and a pure heart. So this is about inner motives driving our external actions. I think the challenge to purity of heart asks me, what would I do for good, even if nobody else ever saw it? How do I see God? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. This is about spending time nurturing that inner life with God, being with him, falling in love again, if you like, with the one who knows and sees everything. I really felt this last week when I was looking at paintings of the cross, just looking at the face of Jesus and him looking at me and being alone together. I really felt that I saw God. So nearly there, final two. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Children of God. Children often come to behave like their parents, don't they? Or they might look like their parents. What is the characteristic of God that we will reflect if we are his children? We will be peacemakers. And notice this isn't peacekeepers. This is peacemakers. We will be those who deliberately try to bring peace in the situations in which God calls us to. And then we'll look like God. And then finally, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom. I don't know if you have ever felt persecuted for righteousness' sake. Remember that righteousness simply means desiring, hungering, and thirsting for God. We probably don't suffer much physical persecution in this country for our faith, as some of our brothers and sisters around the world do. But I think this beatitude says that if we live like the kingdom is near, if we live in the ways of Jesus, we will stand out as different. People will see and recognize the presence of God in our lives. And that won't always go down very well. People feel threatened when they see people living differently. And so this is about having the courage to stand for Jesus and the things of his kingdom. So I wonder how we live out the Beatitudes. I think firstly, just remembering and realizing that we are blessed. If we are part of Jesus' kingdom, if we're citizens of his kingdom, we are the blessed ones. We don't have to try hard. So maybe you over lunch afterwards, you know, you might want to say to each other, blessed are you, and just declare that blessedness over each other. I think the other thing this will do is make us want to bring others into that blessedness. We will want to tell people what it means to be a citizen of the kingdom and invite them to see that too. I wonder if one of the things that you might want to do this week is to choose one of the Beatitudes, maybe one that's stood out to you. They're in Matthew 5, if you want to look for them, and just reflect on it and think, well, what would it look like this week if I were to live out hungering for and thirsting for righteousness, or being meek, or showing mercy? Can I have a day of mercy or a day of meekness? You know, let's live into owning some of these Beatitudes. So let's pray for a moment as I close. I'm just going to read the Beatitudes again slowly, and let's allow God's Holy Spirit to come and inhabit our lives and all that we are for him as we hear these words, blessed, blessed, blessed. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And so this week, may you be found in the great company of blessed ones in all your endeavours for his kingdom. Amen.